Take your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. We'll just read one verse this morning, verse number 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, let's read verse number 18 this morning. The Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you."
In your Bibles this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 is our text this morning. We just read it a little while ago. Of course, it is Thanksgiving time of year, and as I mentioned before, we ought to be thankful every day of the year. The Christian ought to give thanks, but we're gonna focus in on that subject this morning. Any parent this morning, if you're in this room and you've parent kids, I have no doubt that you spent much time in training those kids to teach them to say thank you. Am I right? Amen. Amen. If you don't teach them to be thankful and you don't remind them to be thankful, are they thankful? No, it's got to be taught. And if you just let your young child figure it out for themselves, most likely they're not going to come to the conclusion where they're thankful. They're going to come to the conclusion where they're thankless. And what is the result? What is the end result of a child that is absent of thankfulness in their life? Well, they become self-centered. It's all about them. It's all about me and what I'm doing. They become bitter a lot of times at what is going on in their life because when you're not thankful, you end up bitter. They become covetous many times and want instead of being thankful for what they have. And let me make a correlation this morning. We see that in the life of a child, and it's so important that as a young person, they learn this attribute of thankfulness. And parents, let me admonish you, teach your young people to be thankful. But the same is true for the Christian as well. And God makes, our Heavenly Father makes time right here in this passage of Scripture to do the same thing for you and I. Look at what He says in verse 18. He says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." God says, hold on a second, Christian. We're going to take a second, a little time out here. He says, I want to remind you, I want to teach you, Christian, you need to be thankful in your life. You need to be thankful in your life. The Christian has to be taught. The Christian has to be reminded, I need to be thankful. And when we're not taught and we're not reminded, what happens? We end up not giving thanks. That's just how it goes. And the end result then, just like the child, is ingratitude. The end result of a Christian that's not reminded and does not give thanks, you mark it down, they're self-centered. The Christian, it's all about them then. And what's going on in my life? And what is God doing here with number one here? And it becomes a self-centered life when we don't have gratitude. It becomes a bitter life. We're bitter at everything happening because it's all about me and I don't give thanks for anything going on around me. It becomes a covetous life of always wanting more and more and more. How simple a thank you is. You ever think about that? How simple a thank you is? But how great an impact a thank you has. And not on the person we're saying thank you to. If somebody does something for you, Brother John does something, and I say thank you to Brother John. Sometimes we think in our mind, me saying thank you to that person does a lot for them. You know what? A thank you does more for me than it does for anybody I give thanks to. It really does. You're doing more for yourself. You're clearing out the bitterness that could be there, the self-centeredness, the covetousness that could be there, and you're helping yourself by this matter of thanks. And so much more when we learn to give thanks in everything. And that's the key that he's pointing out here. He says in this verse, in everything give thanks. Not just what we enjoy, give thanks, but then what we endure, give thanks. And there's a difference here this morning. Christian, there's a difference. There's times that you enjoy something, and it is. It's easy to give thanks, but there's times that you endure something. And it's a lot harder to continue to give thanks towards God when I have to endure. We're going to preach on the simple subject this morning, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. God desires that in everything we go through in our life, we still give thanks to His name. Let's pray. We'll get into the message this morning. Dear Lord, I'd ask you please bless this message. I need you, Lord. Lord, we all need you this morning. Please speak to our hearts. Please give me wisdom and the words to say, Lord, in your power. Please give each one of us listening ears and tender hearts, dear God. I'd ask that decisions would be made from you, that your word would cut quick and sharp and deep into us this morning, that we'd catch hold of this attitude, dear Lord, of this thankfulness in our life, and that we'd be thankful in everything, even the little areas, dear God. And I'd ask that you please speak to us now. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Are you warm this morning? I am warm up here. Y'all warm? Y'all are laughing. We got some. How many are cold this morning? Oh, how many are just right? So that's all the ones that are going to be falling asleep this morning. All right, praise the Lord. I got an eye on you now. Look at this book of Thessalonians here, if you would, this morning. Thessalonians, God used the Apostle Paul to write the book of Thessalonians. That's where our text is found this morning. It was written to the church in Thessalonica. Paul had gone to Thessalonica on his second missionary journey, began preaching in the temple there, and he began to see a great work happen. And you read in Acts chapter 17, when Paul was there in Thessalonica, he began to preach, and the Bible talks about how some Jews began to get saved. But not just the Jews began to get saved, then a great number of Greeks began to get saved. The Gentiles there. And then you see not only that, but it says a lot of the chief women began to get saved. And man, when a woman gets saved, we're all in one accord and we're good. Amen? Oh man, I'm not making it good with the women this morning. Lord, help me. But the Lord planted this work here in Thessalonica. And this work really began to be instrumental in carrying the gospel around the globe. And you see there was some really instrumental places where there was high traffic going through and a lot of trade and industry there. And Thessalonica was one of those places. And so when God allows the gospel to break out there and people are getting saved and the work is being built, man, it's a great instrument to the work going on of Christ during this time. And then Paul gets evicted from the city. They push him out and he heads for Berea. And then Paul writes back to the Thessalonians there at the church, and he wants to give them some instruction. He wants to give them some guidance in their life, and that's where we get the book of Thessalonians. And then we get down to chapter 5. And specifically, in chapter 5, where a text is found, God is dealing with the walk of the Christian. What the walk ought to be. And let me say this morning, Christian, don't get it wrong. God has a specific walk for the Christian. We're living in a day and a time, and you come back tonight, and I'll be preaching a little bit on this matter, but God has a specific walk for the Christian. We live in a day and time where everyone says, no, I just want to be my own person. Hey, if you're a Christian this morning, if you've been purchased by the blood of Christ, you're not your own person. You are bought with the price, the Bible says. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I can't be my own person. I am His. I must take on His qualities. I must take on His attributes. And that's what God is talking about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 here. He says, hey, there's some specific attributes, there's some specific characteristics that the Christian ought to have in his walk. And then we get to verse 18 here. Part of that walk of the Christian includes, in everything, give thanks. Well, one of the attributes that we see here in this matter of the Christian walk, he says, hey, thanksgiving, Christian, needs to be in your life. Don't forget that. And sometimes we think of Thanksgiving as such a trite thing. Thanksgiving is an important thing. Don't bypass it. Hey, don't skip over to Christmas without having Thanksgiving in your life. But don't skip it any day of the week either. We see in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, giving thanks is a result of being filled with the Spirit. The Bible says when you're filled with the Spirit, the result is going to be giving thanks. If you're a Christian filled with the Spirit, like we ought to be, giving thanks will be a natural act that we partake of. You and I, as believers, are supposed to exemplify thanksgiving in our life. We gain a little bit of an understanding on why. Why did the Holy Spirit have Paul write about this giving of thanks and everything? What was so important? What was going on that time? You understand the Holy Spirit always does everything for a reason. You ever had that before? God's done that before. I've been dealing with something in my life, and God puts a message right there that I needed. Or I'm in my Bible reading that morning, and man, God hits me right there. I needed that. You ever been there before? I've been there before. And that's what God did here. Paul is writing Thessalonians to the people of Thessalonica, and man, the Holy Spirit's leading him there. And that's exactly what they needed during that time. And we see that here. You say, how? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the verse earlier. We see a little bit of what's going on in their life here. And the Holy Spirit's going to meet their need. Verse 13. He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Hey, there are some people that passed away in the church there. There are some people that died in the church. There are some loved ones that they lost in the church. He says, don't be ignorant about those that are sleeping. Now he's going to go on with a little bit more direction, but I want you to understand what's going on in the church here in Thessalonians. They're going through some heartache here. They lost some people that they loved. You ever lose somebody that you love before? It hurts. It's a deep thing. We've lost church members that we love. You've lost relatives that you love. And that's a hurtful thing. And that's what they're going through. He says, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, this isn't the message this morning, but I want you to focus right there. He says, don't sorrow as those that have no hope. Don't sorrow as those that have no hope. Hey, Christians have great hope. I'm glad the hope that I have in Christ this morning. I'm glad the fact that I have a hope. I have a confidence. Now, it's not the hope that we think of today. I hope I have a good Thanksgiving. I hope it doesn't snow while I travel. Those hopes, we don't know that they're going to happen. You follow me? I hope it doesn't snow Wednesday morning as I'm traveling. That's a hope. It's a guess. I want it to happen, but I'm not sure. And that's not the hope God's talking about here. He's talking about a hope that's a confidence. I know it's going to happen. And he says here, when somebody passes away, the Christian has that hope, has that confidence, that they're going to be up in heaven one day. Hey, when we're saved, when we're born again believers, we don't got to doubt, we don't got to wonder where we're going when we die. We have a hope that the world does not have. We don't have to sorrow. You ever been to a lost person's funeral? It's sorrowful. Why? Because I know where they ended up. Hey, if you're not saved in this room this morning, when you pass away, the Bible says, if you've not been saved, you've not been born again, there's a place called hell that you're going to have to go to pay for your sins. And I would have to go to that same place, except for the fact that I've been saved, I've been born again, Jesus Christ has forgiven me of my sins because I called upon Him. And there's a hope then that I have. It's a sorrowful thing to know I'm not going to see a person again. It's a sorrowful thing for the lost world when somebody dies and that casket sits up there and they don't know. They just don't know. Are they going to be in heaven? Am I going to be in heaven? Are we going to meet one day? What's beyond the casket? And so there's much sorrow involved. But he says to the Christian, he says, don't have that type of sorrow because you do have hope. You do have hope that you're going to go to heaven someday. You have the hope of eternal life. You have hope of that confidence in the future, of that forgiveness of sins. And so he's saying, don't have that same type of sorrow as the world has. But we see here, let me get to my point here. We see that there was sorrow going on here in the church. They were losing people. Not only were they losing some people, but persecution was going on in the church as well. They're having a work go on that's incredible. Leaders in the city are getting saved. The church is growing. The Greeks are getting saved in great numbers. Even Jews are getting saved there, which was a tough thing. They're good people doing a good work. Yet, bad things still happen to good people. Hey, did you catch that this morning? Bad things still happen to good people. I hate to break it to all the Joel Osteen fans this morning, but life is not a bed of roses just because I love Jesus. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. I think everything's going to go fine and dandy because now I love Jesus. Hey, and we ought to love Jesus, but that doesn't mean everything's going to be fine and dandy in my life. And we see here in the church in Thessalonians, man, they're going through some heartache. They're going through some turmoil. They're going through some persecution in their life. These circumstances are important to understand because when we get to chapter 5, I got to understand where they're coming from. When he says, in everything, give thanks, that means, hey, there's a death in the church. I still got to give thanks to God because He's still good. Hey, that means there's some disease going on in my family. I still got to give thanks because God's still good. That means there's some disappointment. There's some depression. There's some stuff that just aren't going my way. But I still, in everything, need to give thanks. You follow me this morning? You follow me? That's what Paul's saying. We got to understand their background a little bit. Yes, there was some sorrow. But he says still, give thanks. Give thanks. Despite the fact that these people were saved and doing a work for God, heartache and heartbreak still came in their lives. Not only did the Christians here experience that great loss, but then great persecution. But our Father reminds us, hey, give thanks. Hey, stay thankful, Christian. Stay thankful. God is so simple in what He asked for us. God didn't make anything about from getting saved. You say, Pastor, what's getting saved? It's simply understanding that you're a sinner, that you're bound for hell, and asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin and take you to heaven. He made salvation simple. And the rest of Christian life, simple. It's not a complicated thing. We complicated it. It's not a complicated thing. Simple. And in this area, it's simple. Say thank you to God. Hey, you wake up in the morning. God, thank you. Thank you for another day. Thank you for salvation today. Thank you for another breath of life. Thank you for the blessings that you've given me. When I go to bed at night, thank you, God, for the day. It's simple. Christian, it's so simple what God's asking us here. He's not asking something way beyond. It's a vocal from the mouth. God wants to hear our thanks. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." Listen to this. He says, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That means he wants to hear. He wants to hear the Christian say thank you. Well, I'm thankful in my heart. No Christian, God says, I want to hear it. I want to hear you open up your mouth and say, thanks, God. Thanks, God. Hey, it's simple this morning. If my 3-year-old girls could learn to say thank you, we can say thank you, right? It's not a difficult thing. It's not complicated. It's such a simple thing in our life. God desires to hear you say thank you to him. And then he gives these two words. Notice the first two words, and this is what we're going to focus on this morning. First two words of the verse, in everything. We kind of mentioned that a little bit, but in everything. Think about that. In everything that I go through, day in and day out, and some of us live a hard life, in everything, give thanks. The Christian must give thanks to God for the blessings. Hey, this is a wonderful thing. I get to give God thanks for the blessings. It's easy to give God thanks for the promotion at work, amen? Hey, God, thank you. And that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. God, thank you for the promotion that you gave me. It's easy to give thanks to God for the healthy birth of a child. We have some pregnant mothers in here this morning. Hey, it's easy to give thanks to God when that baby comes out healthy, amen? God, thank you. It's easy to give thanks to God for the full refrigerator, amen? Thanksgiving's coming up. It'll be empty by the end of the week. But it's easy to give thanks to God when the refrigerator is full. It's easy to give thanks to God for all the paid bills. Hey, when the bills are paid and we got the check in the mail, it's easy to give thanks to God. It's easy to give thanks to God for a healthy family. You see, these are givens. When a Christian lives for God, God gives a life that's full of benefits and blessings. Psalm chapter 68, verse 19 talks about that. He says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Hey, God every day loads us with benefits. I love loaded potatoes. You like loaded potatoes? Loaded baked potato. Put the bacon on there, put the cheese, the sour cream, the chives. Put it all, load it up. Hey, God does that in the life of the Christian. Our lives are loaded with benefits. Many times we just don't take time to think about all the benefits that God has given me. And the fact that I have a loaded refrigerator is a benefit from God. The fact that I drove here this morning, I didn't have to walk, amen? I was able to, if I didn't have a car, I was able to get a ride. I'm loaded with benefits. I don't know if anybody slept outside this last night, but it was cold. I didn't sleep outside. It was cold. Thank God that you have heat. Loaded with benefits. God has blessed us so much. He has loaded us with benefits. And it's easy to give thanks for those benefits. Sometimes as Christians, we don't even give thanks for the benefits. We get so busy in doing what we're doing, we don't stop and give time to God to say thanks. Like that man that was healed from leprosy, the 10 lepers. They're healed from leprosy. They don't even go back to Jesus but one. They didn't have time. I'm too busy. We ought to take time. Don't let thanks and the blessings escape from your life. That's so important. That's so needed. Often we forget to give God thanks for those blessings in our life. Well, I worked hard for it. Yeah, but God gave it to you. There was a preacher by the name of H.A. Ironside. Anyone ever hear of him? A preacher of yesteryear. And he was sitting down at dinner one evening, and a man asked to join him at the dinner table there, and he bowed his head after the man had joined him, and he said thanks for his food. And when he got done praying, he was praying silently to himself. He looked up, and the man says, "Do you have a headache?" He says, "No, I was giving thanks for my food." The man looks at him and says, "I never give thanks." He looks up and smiles. He says, "Yes, you're just like my dog. He does that too." I like that. Sharp and to the point. Hey, but Christian, let me ask you, did you give thanks for the blessings? Did you give thanks for the benefits? It's the animals that won't return that thanks for you. Every human ought to return that thanks to God for all the mighty blessings and benefits that he's given us. But not only in the blessings must we give thanks, but the Christian also gives thanks to God for the heartaches. Or in the heartaches, should I say. He says in everything. We talked about when you get the promotion at work, but what about when you lose your job? Is there still thanksgiving to God? Hey, God, you're still a good God and you're still merciful God. What about when you lose your health? Or do you take Job's wife's approach. Curse God and die. Well, God must be off his throne. A lot of people do that. I don't believe in a God anymore because look at my life. He says, in everything give thanks. What about when you go to the doctor and you hear those words, cancer? What about when your spouse is making a wreck of your marriage? What about when your children are not following the route that you lined out for? Do we still give thanks then? Or all of a sudden does something happen that God's not so good in our life? What about when your friends forsake you? I want to ask you this morning, it's sobering, but are you still giving thanks to God then? Hey, let me say this one. God is a good God despite what is going on in life. God is always a good God, amen? You read through the book of Psalms and you see where God is a good God in the good times, in the bad times, and if we're not careful, we get into the heartbreaks and the heartaches of life, and all of a sudden, our thanks ceases to God. And that's when our thanks needs to be there, because he says here, in everything, many times we rarely give thanks to God for the good times, let alone when it gets to the bad times and trouble is upon us and that thanks goes out the window. I still got to give thanks to God for what he's done. God, you're still good. Thank you. God, you're still long-suffering. Thank you. God, you still have many blessings in my life. Thank you. And I got to continue to give thanks to God, he says, in everything. In all that comes across my path. In all that God brings into my life. Thank you, God. Think about this. In everything leaves no exceptions. When God said there, in everything give thanks, that leaves no exceptions. That word everything, it's a complete word. It's an all-inclusive word. That means there's nothing that could come into our life that we should cease to give thanks to God. There ought to be nothing, no stumbling block in our life that will come and we all of a sudden don't give thanks to God anymore in our life. You could think of the worst circumstances this morning, and those circumstances do not exempt us from giving thanks. He says, in everything. Why is thankfulness so crucial in the difficult times? Catch us. We cannot be both thankful and bitter. Think about that for a second. Those hard times come, those difficult times come, adversity comes to our life. I cannot be both bitter and thankful at the same time. I'm going to be one of two. If I don't give thanks, I'm going to end up bitter. The only way I'm not going to end up bitter is giving thanks. And God says, catch this truth here, Christian. Give thanks in everything. Hey, through the hard times, if we don't give thanks, we're going to end up bitter Christians. We're going to end up bitter at God. We're going to end up bitter at others. We're going to end up bitter at our family. He says, give thanks even during the hard times. Why? Because it's so crucial. It's going to keep that bitterness out of our life. It's going to keep that anger out of our life. If you don't give thanks, you will hold bitterness. Hey, my thankfulness keeps my attitude in check. Praise God for that. Looking at the life of Christ, you find this biblical principle of giving thanks in everything. And turn over to Matthew chapter 26, if you would. Matthew chapter 26. We find Christ, and you read the life of Christ. We're studying it in Sunday school, and I've enjoyed it tremendously. We looked at the woman at the well and how Christ was a soul winner in that instance and pointed that woman to himself, to the Messiah, and gave her that water of life that she can drink from it freely and thirst no more. And what a great example of salvation that is. And you see all the miracles in Christ's ministry. Wonderful miracles. Exciting miracles. Man, the blind are seeing. The lame are now walking. Man, the ministry of Christ is just so exciting and so thrilling. You see the fame and the popularity of Christ spread throughout the whole countryside. But then, also you're going to find Jesus going through the suffering on the cross. You get past all that, and then you find him facing that time where he's going to walk into the garden. And then he's going to be taken, and he's going to be nailed to the cross, and he's going to bleed and die for your sin and for my sin. And you know what? It's going to hurt. He was God and man at the same time, but that doesn't mean he didn't suffer through it all. He suffered just like you and I would suffer. He took on pain just like you and I would take on pain. It hurt him just like it would hurt you and I. And we see here in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, Jesus knows the next step is the cross. He just spoke of Judas that is going to betray him. And now he's getting ready to give that Last Supper. Of course, we know what the Last Supper, the picture of Christ's body is that bread. It doesn't turn into the body of Christ, we understand that, but it's a picture of Jesus' perfect body that he would break for our sins, and then he's going to picture the blood of Christ that is shed for us by that glass of grape juice there, that fruit juice. Verse 26, look at it. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread. That bread, that's a symbolism of what his body's going to go through. And he did what? He blessed it. You can underline that in your Bibles. And break it and gave to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup. And what did he do? He gave, underline that. He gave thanks. And gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. I want you to look at the life of Christ here for a second. He's getting ready to go to the cross. He's God and man at the same time, so he knows everything he's going to go through. He knows the pain, he knows the hurt, he knows the suffering that he's going to go through. And he has that bread there picturing his body. He has that cup there picturing his blood. And he's about to give it all for sinners, worthless sinners like you and I. And right before he goes into that situation, he takes the bread and he blesses it and he takes a cup and the Bible says he gave thanks. You know what Christ did going into that time? He gave thanks. How do you give thanks when you know you're about to approach what you're going through? How do you give thanks when you know a trial's just up the road? How do you give thanks when you know the suffering that you're about to face? How do you give thanks when you're in a situation? I can't imagine a situation worse than the situation of Christ. How does Christ manage to still hold up that cup and give thanks for what he's about to go through? Thank you, Father. Man, that's hard. But God was still good then. And he understood that. And God was still merciful then. And God was still long-suffering. And he was still able to give thanks in that time. He didn't complain. He didn't complain to the disciples, hey guys, I'm going to have to go through all this because of your sin. It's your fault, God. He didn't complain there. He didn't gripe about what he was going to have to go through. He didn't shake his hand in the face of God and say, God, why would you make me do this? Notice his attitude. He gave thanks. In everything, he gave thanks. So often, that's what we do. We end up shaking our fists in the face of God. God, why? Why would you make me go through this? We gripe. Well, I have to go through this and that. Hey, it's your fault. And we develop that attitude. Look at what Christ is doing here. The circumstances that surrounded Christ were cruel at best. Can't give me worse circumstances. Yet he gave thanks. Regardless of the circumstances around me today, God still desires to hear me say thank you. Hey, regardless of the circumstances that you're going through this morning, God wants to hear you say thank you. Thank you, God, for being my God. You're a good God. In everything, give thanks to God for his goodness. In everything, give thanks to God for his grace. In everything, give thanks to God for his mercy. In everything, give thanks to God for his compassion and his blessings. What allowed Jesus to give thanks when the circumstances were all against him? Well, what will fuel our thanksgiving when life is just one discouragement, one disappointment, one death, one disease after another? How do I keep my thanksgiving fueled? Let me give you a few points this morning. How do you give thanks in everything when everything is discouraging? Look at our text this morning. If you would, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How do I keep that attitude of thanks in everything? Number one, when I know God allowed my circumstances, I can be thankful for what is in my life. When I know God allowed my circumstances, I can be thankful for what is in my life. Hey, when I realize God allowed this, God put me here, I could be thankful. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How do I still give thanks in everything when everything is discouraging? Realize that God allowed these discouraging and disappointing circumstances in my life. You know, nothing catches God by surprise. You understand that, right? Hey, nothing catches... What's going on down there? No, God is not like... God knows everything that's going on. There's no disappointment that God did not know was coming. There is no discouragement that God didn't see down the road. There's no disaster that God was surprised by. There's no death or disease that slips by God. God sees it all. We have an omniscient God, meaning God knows everything. We have an omnipotent God, meaning God is all-powerful. He knows everything and he can do everything. You know what that means? That means that if that's in my life, he allowed it. He allowed it. He knows it's there. It didn't slip by God. All of a sudden, God didn't realize I was in that circumstance. How can I still be thankful? Because I got to realize God allowed this in my life. Why did Jesus give thanks when he faced shame and suffering on the cross? Because he knew God allowed those circumstances in his life. It wasn't just happenstance. It wasn't just fate. It wasn't just, well, that's the way the world treats you sometimes. No, God allowed those specific circumstances in his life. And Christian, can I say this morning, when you and I realize that God allowed what is in our life, we can be thankful even in the bad times. When we realize God allowed the circumstances that I have, he allowed those in my life, I can still be thankful. It is not that he receives joy from allowing the dismal situations. He's not a God up there all joyful that you're going through misery. I don't think he was joyful when Job was going through what Job was going through. But he allowed it. And I got to realize that this morning, Christian. He allowed it. He allowed it. God is God. I know that's profound. I give those really profound statements sometimes. God is God. Think about that, though. It is profound. I don't always know why God allows what he allows. Why did God allow this? Why did God allow that? I don't know. Why do you pretend to know God that way? He's God. He's much higher than I am. His thoughts are much higher than I am. Job's children were snatched from him. His living was taken away from him. His health is snatched from him. Did Job know why all that was going on? No, Job had no idea why. Now, we could read the book of the Bible now and get some insight, but he had no idea why. But God allowed it. You have too much pride if you think you can figure out a reason for everything that God allows. Well, I got to figure out why God allowed. You're not going to figure out everything why. You know what? Quit trying to be God and understand everything that God understands and just allow God to be God. Hey, just allow him to be God in your life and understand God allowed it. I can give thanks even in that. If God put it there, I can still give thanks in my life. I don't know why God allows some children to go through cancer. I don't know. I don't know. My youth pastor had a 2-year-old daughter taken away from with leukemia. Passed away at 2 years old. I don't know why. I can't say why. I don't know why a preacher friend over in Illinois just had his wife diagnosed with cancer, young, 5 kids at home. I don't know. I can't pretend to know. And you have situations in your life where you look at it, and you don't know why God did that, but I got to understand, God allowed it. God allowed it. I don't know why good, faithful church members struggle with health issues. I don't know. But I do know, one thing I do know, is I know that God, nothing goes on without God knowing. Nothing. Nothing. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. The Bible says, are not 2 sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Hey, there's not a bird in the sky that falls to the ground that the Father doesn't allow it. But catch this. He says in a little while later, fear ye not, therefore, are ye of more value than many sparrows? If God doesn't allow anything to go on with a bird, how much more you think so for you and I? You're such of great value to God. What God has placed in your life, he's allowed in your life. Leviticus 3:37 says, who is he that saith, it shall come to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? Hey, the Lord Almighty is still in control of all. Hey, we still have a God that sits on his throne, amen? Hey, Christian, this morning, God is still on his throne and still in control of all. So quit complaining. Hey, quit complaining about the circumstances. Quit griping about what God is going on in your life. Quit having a sour spirit and allowing bitterness to set in. Hey, quit all that and understand God still deserves my thanks. God still deserves because he's a good God, because he's a merciful God, because he's a gracious God, he's a long-suffering God, he's a compassionate God. God still deserves my thanks. How do I give thanks? And that time, I understand. God has allowed these circumstances in my life. I can't forget it. How else? Number one, I got to understand God allowed these circumstances. And then let's turn back over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would. Back over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 again. Bible says here, In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God. How can I give thanks when I know that God will lead me through the circumstances? I can continue to give thanks to God. Hey, when I know that not only did God allow, but God's going to lead me through those circumstances. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a wonderful promise God gave us. Hey, He's not going to leave my side. Jesus Christ, He went to that cross, the pain, the suffering. He knows God allowed it, but not only did He know God allowed it, but He also knew that God's going to lead me through it. He also knew the end. That after He died and He was put in that grave for 3 days and three nights, up from the grave He would arise. Hey, by the Father's power, He would rise again from the dead. Praise God for that. He understood He's going to lead me through the circumstances that are going in my life. David in Psalm 23 said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why could he not fear evil while walking through the valley of the shadow of death, a dark time in his life? "For Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." How can I still give thanks for the dismal circumstances? How can I still give thanks in the disappointments? I understand, hey, I got a shepherd walking right beside me. He's going to lead me through this. He's going to get me to that other side. He's not going to leave my side going through all this. Hey, too many times a Christian forgets that Christ is going to walk us through all that. And then I get bitter. I get angry. I get disappointed. We have a Heavenly Father that is going to be leading us beside those circumstances the whole way through. Give thanks. Give thanks. We have so much to be thankful. God is such a good God. God is such a good God. Not only did He allow it, but He's going to lead us through it. And then lastly, we'll go to the house. How do I give thanks when I know that God has joy past their circumstances? I can give thanks. When I know that God has joy past the circumstances, I can give thanks. The Bible talks about Jesus when He went to that cross. He says, "For the joy that was set before Him." Think about that phrase, "the joy that was set before Him." Christ went to that cross and His present circumstances were all awful. Stripped, pulled out His beard, crown of thorns, nails in His hands and His feet. Just awful setup there. His present circumstances were terrible. But think about this. The joy that was set before Him, He endured. And Christ, as He hung there on the cross, He wasn't looking at the present circumstances around Him. Catch us. He was looking at the joy that was coming in the future. He was looking at the future, what Christ was going to do through all that. And Christian, can I say this morning, when God is working in your life, He allowed whatever He allowed in your life, not only is He going to lead you through it, but there's some joy when it all passes over. The Bible says that when the clouds go away, there's joy that will come in the morning. Hey, there's some joy that I can look forward to. God is working in my life. God is trying to make something happen. God is trying to make me a testimony. God's trying to make me an example. He's trying to do something in my life. And I can give thanks when I remember, hey, there's joy that's coming afterwards. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we know all things work together for what? For good. All things work together for good for them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. If I'm willing to lead where Jesus Christ, or if I'm willing to follow where Jesus Christ leads me in those times of bad circumstances, when I get to the end of those circumstances, guess what? It's working out for good. It's not working out for the worse. It's my benefit at the end. Jeremiah. You read the book of Jeremiah, and you see where destruction and devastation comes to Israel. And rightfully so, they ran from God. And Jeremiah forecasted that. In fact, we're going to preach a little bit on that tonight. Jeremiah forecasted all that. And all that devastation comes, and Jeremiah opens his mouth, and he starts saying how compassionate and merciful God is. His mercies are renewed every day. How faithful God is in his life. How does Jeremiah see all the devastation in the smoking city, the ruined temple, and say, "Man, God's a good God"? How do we look at our life and you see smoke coming up here and disaster there and still able to say, "Man, God's a really good God"? Because he understood there was something down the road. There was a future down the road. There was joy that will come past the circumstances. Hey, Christian, don't get your eyes on the present circumstances around you. Understand, God has a work that's going on off in the future for you. And that's what he's working towards. It's like that potter in the wheel. He's making something. We don't always see why right now, but there's an end result down there. And if we could just see the end result, but we don't always see the end result. Christ knew what the end result was. Hey, people are going to get saved and be in heaven because I'm dying on the cross. You know the difference with us? I don't always see the end because I'm not God. You know what that means? I got to have a little bit of faith and a little bit of trust that God's doing what needs to be done. And that's a hard one, but that's what we need, Christian. A little bit of faith and a little bit of trust. God, hey, you allowed this. You're going to lead me through this. I need to just follow. And there's joy beyond all the circumstances. Hey, Christian, let me ask you this morning. Is there something that's prohibiting the thanks in your life? Has there something come along your way, an obstacle? Is there a hindrance that's put in your path that you stop giving thanks to God because circumstances came your way? Maybe there's something that you need to come and say, God, I'm sorry. I didn't get back to thanks in your life. Maybe it's been a while since you gave thanks to God. Maybe the blessings even, it's been a while since we gave thanks for the little blessings that are loaded into our life. Maybe this morning you'll come and say, God, I want to give thanks to you, God. You're such a great God. Hey, in the bad circumstances, I could give thanks. Why? Because I know God's allowed it. I know God will lead me through it. And I know there's joy that'll come after all this is over. God's doing a work in my life. How about you, Christian? How's that thankfulness? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. It's God's will concerning you. Give thanks.